So good evening, everybody, and joining us. I know some people joining locally and some from holiday. Very excited to be here this evening. We have, for a while at Magenavot, we've been speaking about the 3T project. Obviously, Tshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah, which is something all Am Yisrael has, but a special community project we've launched this year. And today, on a very auspicious day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, very excited to be kicking off the series of Shirim that we have. Special Shirim. We're bringing in some speakers from across the world, but tonight we're starting off locally, but no less illustrious. And we are very, very honored to have Rabbi Yossi David joining us this evening. Needs no introduction at all. Well known to all of you from just next door in Od Yosef Chai or in Nancy Rubin Primary School as well. Rabbi Yossi, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight and getting your time. And going to be speaking on the topic of Elul and Tshuvah. So I won't take any more of your time, and over to you.
Okay. Thank you. First, thank you to the rabbi. Thank you to the gabayim. Thank you to the people in charge who've organized such a wonderful idea of the three T's. It actually works only in English. Yeah. And tremendous ideas. Again, it's a great honor for me to speak to you. Always, I find great joy speaking to Magen Avot. It's a really good crowd, a good group of people who understand things and appreciate things. It's always a pleasure to be part of speaking to you and sharing some Divrei Torah together with you. The topic I was given to speak about is obviously the first T in the list, which is Teshuvah. That's the way the order goes, no? Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. So we're going to be discussing the mitzvah of Teshuvah. I just hope everybody can hear me because I can't see anybody else. Can you hear me? I
can hear very clearly. Yes, very clearly. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Perfect, perfect. Okay, so first let's start. I've been fortunately given to speak on Rosh Chodesh, which is already a subject on its own. I just want to share with you something before we start the actual subject which I've chosen to speak about, which is the subject of Elul and Teshuvah. It goes hand in hand together. All of this is a preparation to Rosh Hashanah. It says, we're so fortunate that we are the only nation in the world who actually know these secrets of the Yamim Noraim. I mean, many religions have adopted different ideas from Judaism, but when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Kippur, they got a total different idea than what we have, and no one has actually taken our dates, and no one knows our secret. That's what the Pasuk says, Ashrei Ha'am Yode'ei Teruah. Fortunate is a nation which know exactly when the day of Teruah, when the day of coronation is, when the day of judgment, when the day of Yom Kippur is. Not only that, we're given 30 days prior to that to start preparing for it. But generally, you must know always that Rosh Chodesh, apart from being a big chag for the ladies, which we can leave that for another share to try and understand why the ladies merited to have this special Rosh Chodesh day given to them, taken away from the 12 tribes and given to the ladies as a special day where they do less work. But we say in our prayers, in the Tefillah of Musaf, Rashe Chodashim Lamcha Natata, Zman Kapara Lechol Toldotam. Rosh Chodesh in itself is a day of atonement, is a day of kapara. So how wonderful to start the month of Elul, and I believe that the Ashkenazim have the custom to start blowing shofar already from the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So you actually get a kickstart from Rosh Chodesh. We wait for the slichot to pray and to ask Hashem for slichot. We wait for Sunday only. We won't be able to do it on Rosh Chodesh. We can't say vidui. We can't have it on Shabbat. And we continue to Sunday, we start only then. But you'll be already listening to the shofar tomorrow morning. And Rosh Chodesh in itself is a Zman Kapara, is a time of atonement. I just want to share a small idea about the Zman Kapara, but I think it could be well connected to the subject, which I want to explain the definition of the word Teshuvah. Many of us find it difficult to understand what is the word Teshuvah, returning. Teshuvah, what exactly does it refer to? So before that, I just want to share with you the Talmud in Masechet Shavuot and also in Chulin, page 60, is one of the most puzzling pieces of Gemara which I've come across, which needs lots of understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. But Hashem says, when God created the world, and He created the Me'orot HaGdolim, He created two great Me'orot Gdolim, double, both the sun. Yeah? I mean, it's like we have a sun today. They had two, double of that. As it says in the Pasuk, Me'orot HaGdolim, Shnei Me'orot HaGdolim. And the story goes that the moon turned to the sun, well, before it became the moon, it turned to to Hashem and said, wait, Shnei Melachim, Molchim Beketer Echad, can you have two great powers reigning on one crown? So Hashem demanded from the moon, Hamiti Atzmech, reduce yourself, make yourself small. The moon turns around to Hashem and says, wait a minute, I suggested a good idea. I question something. Why am I being punished? What's going on here? And it says that God tried to calm down the moon and said, don't worry, they'll be using the moon to know the cycle of the year, to know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, when they should fix the feasts. But the moon wasn't appeased. It says, that can't be, because also the sun is used for that purpose. Because when we fix Pesach in Chag HaAviv and Sukkot in Chag HaAsif, it's got to do with the seasons of the sun, with the four seasons. So it wasn't happy. Until eventually Hashem said something which to us sounds very strange. Rosh Chodesh, I'm asking the Jewish people to bring a korban. Haviu kapara alai. Bring an atonement for me. And it's very ununderstood. Well, Hashem has actually done a mistake and he's demanding from the Jewish people to make it a day of atonement and to bring a sacrifice for him, for his mistake. Lo alenu. We can't say such a thing. Surely we're lacking understanding here. And most commentaries write this is beyond our comprehension. There's a lot of deep messages there. But I've seen the great Al-Fasi, the Rif, has actually changed the text of the Talmud and said, Haviu lefanai kapara. Not for me, ela bring before me a day. I mean, Rosh Chodesh became a day of atonement. What happened there and why was the moon appeased when Hashem said, bring before me a sacrifice as a kapara, and ever since Rosh Chodesh became Zman Kapara Lechol Toldotam. There's a midrash which brings the dialogue between the Hashem and the moon slightly different. And there it says that God turned around to the moon and said, Galui ve'yadua lefanai. I know that your intention was that I should reduce the sun to half its size, to make it smaller than me, than you. But because of that, I'm making you smaller. But to understand this and to understand the Rif, we have to understand what exactly was the sin here. If God created something, if God's wish was to be two Me'orot HaGdolim, then God has his reasoning. Who are we to question? Why did the moon question even that? When you're questioning Hashem and his creation, or you're questioning something, and you're disobeying what Hashem wants, and you're questioning why did Hashem, means you're lacking that trust that Hashem knows what he's doing. And if that's the case, says Hashem, Amiti Atzmech, I'm going to make you and reduce you smaller. When the moon heard that this is going to be a Zman Kapara Lechol Doldotam, the moon was satisfied. Said, if that's the case, this is a lesson to the Jewish people in future. When they're sinning, it's only because they're undermining Hashem. When we sin, it's we are pushing God aside. We're going over what we want. We're going after our lusts, our comfort. And that's why we sin. Says the moon, if I will be a lesson to the future generation, that when God commands something, God wants from us something, we don't question, we do it, then that's satisfied me as a Zman Kapara Lechol Toldotam. But again, that wasn't our subject. But I said, I'll mention that you should know that maybe a little introduction to what we're going to speak about. What exactly is the meaning of Teshuvah? What causes a person to sin? And what's demanded from him during the month of Elul in order to come closer to Hashem? Now, we all know that Rosh Chodesh Elul is brought in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. One of the oldest midrashim we have is Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Some say it was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus is brought in the beginning of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the whole story of his. And he wrote this midrash. And it's written there that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he came down back on Yom Kippur, and that he went to get the second tablets. After Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, God agreed to give the Jewish people a second chance. So Moshe goes up on Rosh Chodesh. No coincidence, this year, it falls on exactly the same days of the week which Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim, and he came back down on Yom Kippur. He went up on a Thursday, which is Rosh Chodesh, and he came down on a Monday, which Yom Kippur this year will fall on a Monday. Ever since, the Talmud and Baba Kama says Mondays and Thursdays was a takana that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that the Jewish people shouldn't pass 3 days without studying of Torah. So he instituted and introduced that the Jewish people should be laning every Monday and Thursday and saying extra supplementary prayers every Monday and Thursday. And the reason for that is, Tosfot says on the page in Baba Kama, that the reason is that that's when Moshe went up to Shamayim and he came down. He went up on a Thursday, came up on a Monday. Sometimes we do actions in our lifetime, but we don't know what implication we have for generations to come. Moshe does an action, goes on a specific day of the week. It becomes a day of rachamim and slichot for the Jewish people for the rest of our calendars every Monday and Thursday. But even more stronger than that is that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, up to Yom Kippur, these 40 days became very special days for the Jewish people. And that's why we awaken ourselves and we blow the shofar from Rosh Chodesh and we ask Hashem for slichot in this month and we try to perfect ourselves on the month of Elul because it's et ratzon. It's a time where Hashem is indicated to the Jewish people. This is a time I forgive you for the golden calf. This is a time I gave you a second chance. And I brought down the second tablets, which we fortunately have until today. Our beautiful and wonderful Torah. And that happened when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh. And he came down, subsequently came down on a Monday, which was Yom Kippur. And Hashem forgave the Jewish people and gave them the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, which Moshe Rabbeinu had written. So that's special about these special days of Elul. So Elul demands from us some separation, some preparation towards the Amim Noraim. So we've clearly had an opportunity we have now to start perfecting ourselves. But before we start talking about Teshuvah, I just want to mention something. My father learned in Gated Yeshiva as a young student. And he had a bedroom which was on a loft. And from there, you can see the trading estate of Newcastle. When he took that bedroom, there was a young man who mentioned to him, you should know, a few years ago, in this bedroom slept a young boy from Poland, who they managed to send him from Poland to England at the beginning of the Second World War. And he was seeing the trading estate being built in Newcastle. And he heard the news that the king, and it was then King George VI, I think, was about to visit Newcastle. Yes, the king would visit Newcastle every so. And he did for this trading estate, for the inauguration. When he heard that, he was a young yeshiva student in Gateshead. Remember, his family has been left behind in Poland. And he thought, maybe I have a chance here. As the king is passing by, I'll have a chance to maybe request from him if he can help me out to bring my family over from Poland. And the war had just broken out. And he decided he's going to write a letter. And he wrote a letter in whatever English. He took help from some of his friends. And he wrote demanding from the king if anything he can do to try and bring his family. He says he's a lone child here. He's only 16 years old. He's come over to this country and he really wants his family to be reunited if he can do anything to bring them over. So he placed all of that in a letter and he decided to go towards that trading estate. And obviously you can imagine even then there was security. The king is about to come to town. Now as he sees the carriage passing by, he runs towards the carriage and you can imagine what happened then. Such a chaos. Everybody started pushing. And they pushed him away. He managed to throw that little envelope towards the king's carriage. And he was obviously arrested and taken into a cell. He was released afterwards because they heard of his situation. He was released. Weeks later, he received a letter from the office of King George VI. And then the letter said that I've taken into consideration what you've requested, and I'm going to try and do my best. After months, the family reunited. This is a tremendous story. What chances did this boy have that the King George should be able to read a letter or ask for a letter? The story is said that when he threw the letter, the king saw it, and he demanded from his secretary to pick it up and give it to him. And he actually saw it. The reason why I'm bringing the story is, we don't need King George to pass by Hendon. We know the King of Kings, Borei Olam, is about to pass by this month very close to us. We don't need to push. There's no security guards around. All we need is, and who knows, what convinced the king to pick up the letter was the way that boy ran with such energy towards him and wanted to give, and he felt so sorry. If we will do something similar to that and show Hashem that we are keen, we want to see the king, we want to come close to you, Hashem. Whatever actions we'll do, God will take to consideration and take us in. That's the importance of the month of Elul. But now let's go to our main topic. We want to try and understand, what is the meaning of Teshuvah? Teshuvah, so the simple meaning is to return. But to return where? Where are we going with this? So in order to understand this and try to understand a few more ideas about Teshuvah, simple ideas, I will read to you the Pasuk. We know that the famous Ramban Nachmani actually counts the mitzvah of Teshuvah as one of the positive commandments which is written in the Torah. And he learns it from the Psukim, which says in Parashat Nitzavim, chapter 30, verse 1, and then it says, Veshavta ad Hashem Elohecha, you will return to Hashem. Veshav Hashem Elohecha ad Shevutecha v'richamecha, and God will accept you Teshuvah back. By the way, I heard something very powerful in the name of the Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner. He asks, you know, when we say the 13 attributes, we say Emet. One of the attributes is Emet. Now, I would say, if it was up to me, I would make sure I hide away the word Emet. That's the last thing I want Hashem to stick to the Emet there. It'd be very, very sad if God will stick to the Emet and hold against us all what we've done all the year. Understand what Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, these are all character traits which we're asking Hashem to use. Midot which you're asking Hashem. For Emet? So the Pachad Yitzchak said, in the Torah it says that when you do Teshuvah, it says, Veshavtad Hashem Elohecha. And it says, Veshav Hashem Elohecha. When you will do Teshuvah, God will accept you Teshuvah back. So we are asking Hashem, please stick to the middle of Emet. You promised that you will accept our Teshuvah when we return to you. So stick to the Emet and accept our Teshuvah back. But the Ramban says, when the Pasuk continues in verse 11, it says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, asher anochi metzavecha hayom, lo nifleti mimcha, velo rechoka hi mimcha. Which mitzvah is the Torah talking about? Says the Ramban, it's not talking about all the mitzvot of the Torah, because otherwise they would have said, kol ha-mitzvah. What's ki ha-mitzvah? And it's referring to the mitzvah of Teshuvah. For a person to do repentance, to come back to Hashem, to do Teshuvah, that's a mitzvah taseh, a positive commandment to do Teshuvah. But the puzzling thing here is that the Rambam Maimoni does not count the mitzvah of Teshuvah in his Minyana mitzvot. In mitzvah 83, the Ramban counts the mitzvah of vidui, confessing, but he never brings the mitzvah of Teshuvah in the counting of the mitzvot, nor in his book, Yad HaChazakah. And we have to understand why. This is all an introduction to try and understand what is Teshuvah. So we've got the Rambam, which is very puzzling. He does not mention the mitzvah of Teshuvah as counting a part of the mitzvot, nor does the Sefer HaChinuch. He doesn't bring the mitzvah of Teshuvah as a separate mitzvah. All he says that when you do Teshuvah, you have to confess, and you have to do vidui. But it doesn't bring the mitzvah of Teshuvah as part of the 613 mitzvot. So we have to understand what's the reason for this. Furthermore, the Chinuch in mitzvah 364, when he brings the mitzvah of vidui, He writes, what's the shoresh? You know, the chinuch loves giving ideas to make the mitzvot a little bit more rational, that we should be able to take some crumbs of understanding in the mitzvot to encourage us. Obviously, we never get to the bottom understanding because we're trying to understand an unlimited mind of the Creator who wrote the Torah with our limited minds. So it gives us some tasters to the mitzvot. So the mitzvah 364, where he brings the mitzvah of vidui, the chinuch writes, lefi shebehodaat ha'avon bepet itgalem machshevet achote v'da'ato. When a person confesses and admits that he's done wrong, and he specifies the sins he's done wrong, you can reveal through that the idea and the thoughts of the sinner. Shehu ma'amin ba'emet, ki galui ve'adu lifnei ha'el baruch hu kol ma'aseu, that it's revealed before Hashem all person's deeds. And a person shouldn't lo yase ein roa ke ein roe. They should make an eye which watches us as if he doesn't see us. Then he gives another reason that by you confessing and saying you sin, you're more protected. You're not going to do that sin. When you talk about it and you speak about how severe it is, you're not going to make the sin again. But I'm trying to focus on the first reason. We reveal a person's thoughts when you confess with your mouth. What happened here? There's an ein roa, and we understand that he watches. So in order to understand the chinuch's word, I will bring you the words of a great rabbi who lived approximately 450 years ago. His name was the Reshit Chochma, Rabbi Eliyahu Dividash. He lived in Sfat, and he wrote a book called Reshit Chochma. He was then, later on in his life, he was taken to be the rabbi of Hebron, and he was buried in Hebron. Until today, his grave is there, one of the greatest chachamim we had in the 16th century. And there, he was a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero, and he wrote the book Reshit Chochma, a wonderful book, a book full of Yirat Shamayim. It's all about fear of Hashem. He based his book on the script which says, Reshit Chochma, Yirat Hashem. The real wisdom in this world is fear of God. And he writes these words, Tzarich le'echoz ba'yirah, Shehi ha-teshuvah. A person, if he wants to do teshuvah, tzadich le'echoz ba'ira'ah. You have to grasp and grab on to fear of Hashem, to yira'ah, because that is teshuvah. So in a few words, he's giving us the definition of what teshuvah means. And I'll explain myself. We have to understand. We always seem to think that fearing God and doing teshuvah are two different things. The two separate mitzvot, says the Reshit Chochma, not at all. It's all one thing. When a person sins, he's pushing away the fear of Hashem. He's showing God is not watching me now. I'm not so concerned about God's words. You know what? He'll forgo now. He's busy. He's not going to look at me now. Now I've got to take care of what I want. When a person does that, he's really pushing fear of God away from him. And that's how he brings himself about to sin. So says the great Reshit Chochma that our work to do teshuvah is mipnei shebechetao dacha ira, because by sinning he pushed away fear of God. He showed that God is not watching me. I'm not fearing God now at this moment. I want to do what I want to do. So that's muchrach, he says, you have to now grab on to darkei ira lichuvato. That means teshuvah means that we reestablish the fear we have for Hashem, because lack of that is what really distances us from God, and that's what causes us to sin. That's when we see ourselves and we don't see what God created us for. But when we have constant fear of Hashem, then we are assured that we will not sin. En hayareh chote, someone who fears God does not sin. And that's the, in one word, teshuvah is yira'ah. Coming back to Hashem means coming close to Hashem. It's fear of Hashem. Based on this idea, yeah, we understand what the pasuk says. Shuvu elai v'ashuva alechem. You come close to me, I will come close. I'll make myself felt to you even more, so long as you make a little opening. Pitchuli petach kechudo shel machat. Open a little opening for me. Make sure that you feel my presence a little bit. And I will make sure you'll feel it even more. I will help you out. I'm not interfering with your choice. All I'm helping you is with fear of Hashem. I will come close to you. You'll feel my presence. You'll see more Ashgacha. You see providence. You will feel it. I'm involved in everywhere. And that's how you will be able to come back to me and do Teshuvah. Now we begin to understand why the Rambam did not count the mitzvah of Teshuvah as part of the 630 mitzvot. Because simply in mitzvah number 4, the Rambam clearly gives us the mitzvah of fearing Hashem. And also the chinuch in mitzvah 332, he clearly writes that the person et Hashem Elohecha tira, you've got an obligation to fear Hashem. Because really, you don't have to write to me the mitzvah of teshuvah. Because you have already a warning that you should fear God. And teshuvah just means bring about fear of Hashem to yourself. Start feeling that God is present. Start understanding and creating that feeling to become greater and greater within yourself, that God is involved in everything of our life, and fear Hashem. When you fear Hashem, you are assured you will not sin. And writes the chinuch, shoresh ha-mitzvah of fearing Hashem is, nigla lekol ro'eh ha-shemesh. Ki ha-shmira gdola min ha-chet, the biggest way of protecting yourself from sinning is, yirat onsho, is fear of Hashem. It's unbelievable. Now we begin to understand what the concept of the Teshuvah means. It's not just banging our hearts. That's only afterwards. You have to mitzvah vidui. So that's what the chinuch says. When a person says vidui and admits, he's admitting I did wrong. He's acknowledging that God was aware of all what he did. And the whole reason, as the chinuch says, asa ein ro'a ke'en ro'a. The reason why you sinned is because you made an eye which can watch you as if he's not watching you now. And that's the shoresh of the mitzvah of vidui. When we confess and declare what we've done wrong, we're admitting to Hashem that God knew all what we were doing. And therefore here, umodeva ozev yerucham. When you acknowledge and you're not hiding away, when a person hides away things from others, it's because he thinks others don't know. Otherwise, he wouldn't be hiding away from them. But when he admits and says things, it's because he knows that others will know that Hashem knows. And that's what vidui does. Vidui is we actually declare we're going back to what we should really be. We know that God is watching us constantly. And God is making sure that, and that if a person strengthens himself on Yirat Shamayim, that is the definition of Teshuvah. And could be that the Ramban is not questioning this. The Ramban doesn't really count it as part of the mitzvot. It just says it's a mitzvah. But that's what the Pasuk says. V'shavta ad Hashem Elohecha. Come back to God. Come back to realize that Hashem is next to you. Come closer to Hashem. When a person feels close to Hashem, he's guaranteed he doesn't sin. It's very interesting if we go back in history to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the tree of knowledge, Etz Hadaat Tov V'Ra. Here, this is again, Adam HaRishon wasn't given many commandments to keep. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge. And what happened? He eats from the tree of knowledge and straight away he goes hiding. Hashem is calling him. He's hiding in Gan Eden. And Hashem is saying, where are you? Ayeka. Where does this Ayeka come from? When a person sins, he feels God is not seeing him. He can hide away from Hashem. And that's what creates that situation of wanting to sin, of having the ability of sinning. Because you remove, you feel that Hashem is not watching you at every constant moment. And that's why Adam HaRishon happened. Ayeka, Hashem HaTorah, where are you? As if God doesn't know where he is. As if he can hide from Hashem. And then he excuses himself. I heard your sound, and therefore I hid. What do you think? You can hide from Hashem? That's the problem, says Hashem. When you feel you can hide away from me, that's what creates you. When you have no Yirat Shamayim, when Yirat Shamayim reduces, that you think that, you know what, God is not watching now. God is not bothered. Now I've got to get on with what I have to do. That's lack of Yirat Shamayim. So the job of Teshuvah is, and I will bring you the Targum, Yonatan ben Uziel says on this Pasuk, V'amale, halo kol alma debarit gali kodamai. God turns it out to Adam HaRishon, how can you try and hide away from me? Says Yonatan ben Uziel in his Targum. I'm everywhere. I'm all over the place. How can you hide? Be'ech an sabar belibach. How can you even thought in your heart that mitamra min kodamai, that you can hide away from me? You can't hide away from Hashem. What creates our situation of sinning is yirat shamayim, lack of fear of Hashem. if we will exercise during the month of Elul and constantly feel Hashem is involved in our lives and He's watching us and He sees every step of ours, then that will be considered as a proper and appropriate teshuvah. That's the definition of teshuvah. Hashivenu avinu letoratecha vekarvenu malkeinu vachazireinu b'tshuvah shlema lefanecha. Lefanecha. Because teshuvah is only shlema when it's lefanecha. When we feel we're in front of Hashem and there's no barriers between us and Hashem is watching us, that is considered teshuvah shlema. That's considered proper teshuvah, is to feel closeness to Hashem. Now, the question which you may all have and we're thinking to ourselves now, but how do we strengthen ourselves on Yirat Shamayim? How do we do that? How do we bring about that feeling that we feel the Shekhinah close to us? So we have to do it in stages. I just want to share with you a tremendous Talmud in the Tractate of Brachot, page 28b, 28 Amud Bet. Ukhshechala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who spared the Talmidei Chachamim by Aspasianos, and he managed to make sure there's a continuation to the Jewish heritage, to Jewish people, to the Shalshelet of David HaMelech, just before the destruction of the temple. And after the Churban HaBayit, says the Gemara in Brachot, this great Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai fell ill. He was in his deathbed. And his students came to visit him. Amrulo. They saw him crying. Rabbi Yochanan saw his students. He began crying. The students began crying too. So he said, what are you crying about, Rebbe? If anybody in this world, in our generation, shouldn't have to cry, it's you. You're such a great man. Says the expression they gave him, Amuda Yemani, Patisha Chazak. They gave such expressions to express how great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was. Why are you crying? You shouldn't have to be crying. You've done so much good for the Jewish people. So he turned around to them and said, had they been bringing me in front of a king, flesh and blood, I would be very concerned, even though his anger is not an everlasting anger, his death is not an everlasting killing, and in imprisoning me won't be everlasting. I would be afraid. If now they're bringing me in front of the kings of kings, Melech Malchei HaMelachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God gets angry, it's an everlasting anger. When God imprisons, it's everlasting. When God kills Lo Alenu from Olam HaZeh, Olam HaBa, I shouldn't be afraid? Now the students began to understand the greatness of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai even more. And it says in the Gemara something tremendous. At the deathbed of the Rebbe, the students turn around to him and tell him, Rebbe, Barechenu, give us a blessing. You know what he turns around to his students and he says? Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will of Hashem. Shetehem ora shamayim alechem kemora basar vadam. I want you to fear God, mora shamayim, like you fear basar vadam, like you fear human beings. His students were shocked. Amrulo talmidav ad kan, that's all you want from us? That we should fear God like we fear human beings? What's going on here? He told them, alvai, I wish you'll get to that level. They do, when a person sins an avera, when someone wants to commit a crime, something which is legally wrong, he always turns around to see if any of his friends know he's committing this crime. He's embarrassed. People are embarrassed of each other. When people are together with other people, they feel embarrassed. So says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you be embarrassed of each other. Make sure you don't sin because you're embarrassed of each other. And eventually you'll be embarrassed and you'll realize that Hashem is also watching, says Rashi. And Hashem is also watching constantly and you'll be embarrassed of Hashem. So our way to work up to fear of God is let's start being working together as a community. Wonderful. Your community are working always together, which is an amazing thing, amazing achdut. You organize these things together. There's no, we can't imagine the power of a congregation, the power of a tzibur, when people get together to do good things. And you guys got together. And I'm saying, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the way to get to Yirat Shamayim is, let's put social pressure into each other. Let's be connected to each other. Let's make sure that, you know what, out of social pressure, we pressurize each other and make sure we don't sin out of embarrassment to each other. Eventually, we start thinking that Hashem Melocho La'aretz Kevado is also watching us constantly. And that's how we will strengthen. It says in the blessing of Allah Tzadikim, Yeah, in Shmoneh Esrei we say, V'sim chelkenu imahem. We want to be amongst the congregation. Surely amongst the congregation there's always good people around. And therefore you're amongst good people. That always encourages, that always makes sure that we're embarrassed to do wrong things next to them. And we strengthen ourselves. And eventually we come to do it for the sake of Hashem. And we come to realize that Hashem is watching. You know, it says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Pasuk, Mika Hashem Eloheinu bechol korenu elav. Seems to be we can turn to Hashem whenever we want. But then it says, Lushu Hashem be'imatzo. You only seek Hashem at the time you can find him. So the Gemara answers, one is talking about Tzibur, one is talking about Yachid. Together with the congregation, at whatever time when we get together, it's so powerful that we can ask Hashem and Hashem accepts the Zechuyot. The Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Hei says the Zechuyot of the many is much greater than a person tries to do things individually. So if a person would strengthen himself to make sure he's part of a congregation, he's part of a tzibur, then he'll succeed to be able to do teshuvah and to be able to bring fear of Hashem much closer to him. So the definition of teshuvah is yirat shamayim. Let's strengthen ourselves on the month of Elul. Let's be particular. Let's try and please the Almighty. Let's not look into the halakha or look in the Torah to see how comfortable we can be in the laws of the Torah. On the contrary, let's see how pleased Hashem will be for us if we keep what he wants. And therefore, let's not look too much for leniencies. If we are able to make sure that we perfect ourselves and do it, as the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch, that there used to be a custom to be particular, for example, to have Pat Israel, even the Pat Paltar, you're allowed to have in certain circumstances. During the 10 days, it's a small practice. But when you're showing yourself, you're more particular, you're showing there's more Yirat Shamayim. When a person makes sure he perfects his deeds, feeling that constantly, what does Hashem want for me? You're the whole time thinking, you know what? Any choice you have in life, what would God, what does the Torah would want for me better? When we do that, we are exercising Yirat Shamayim. By exercising Yirat Shamayim, we're doing Teshuvah. Because the definition of Teshuvah is Yirat Shamayim, fear of Hashem. If we will work our way through Elul, trying to improve in such a way, and trying to establish in our minds that God is constantly watching us, God is constantly seeing all our deeds, and we perfect ourselves, then we can be assured that we get to Rosh Hashanah, we come to Malchuyot, to Yom Adin, to a day where we coronate Hashem, we will feel the presence of the Shekhinah much more, and I will be able to highlight the sins we did, so we should be able to do Teshuvah on Yom Kippur in an easier way. And Bezrat Hashem, you know what? It's a whole cycle, this. We start with Tisha B'Av, it's punishment. We move on to Elul, it's repentance. We come back to Hashem. Then we've got the Day of Judgment. We've got Yom Kippur as the Kapara for Am Israel. And then we move on to the Simcha, which is Sukkot. And that's a beautiful cycle. And we have to utilize it as much, because if we don't use the opportunities, Lo Aleinu, this accumulates into our reckoning. And we have to be careful to use opportunities properly. So the definition of our tshuva is Yirat Shamayim. So obviously, I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to myself as well. So let's strengthen ourselves, all of us together, with creating more the feeling that God is present and Hashem is watching. And therefore, we are careful what we look at. We are careful how we speak about people. I want to tell you, Ben Adam Lachavero has a lot to do with this. How pleasant and kind we have to be to each other. We are each other created with Tzelem Elohim. When we're watching our friends, we're watching the image of Hashem. If we will feel that way, that the Shekhinah is in the face of our friends, we will be much more careful how we talk to them, how we speak about them, and how we treat them. So also, Ben Adam Lachavero, that also creates that Tzibur idea, which we were speaking about, that community idea. So may Hashem give us strength that we should be able to utilize these wonderful days in the proper way and be able to raise our families to Yirat Shamayim and make sure that Hashem forgives us for all our sins. And Bezrat Hashem, as we said, Zman Kapara Lechol Toldatam. May Rosh Chodesh be already Zman Kapara. And may Hashem take away this pandemic completely away from the Jewish people and from the rest of the world. They know what to suffer anymore. And Bezrat Hashem will be able to reunite in synagogues in a normal way, looking at each other's faces in the normal way, and be able to pray us together, Bebinyan Bet HaMikdash, Bimera Be'amenu, Amen. So again, let me thank all of you for having the patience of listening to me, and may I wish the community lots of Hatzlacha with you, Rabbi, and you should go Mechayil El Chayil, and we should only see Smachot Bezrat Hashem. So thank you for the opportunity again, and Tizku Leshanim Rabot Ne'imot V'Tovot. Kol Tuv, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rabbi Yossi. Uplifting, inspiring. There's all lots of work to do.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Amazing. Always a pleasure to hear you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Yossi.
Pleasure. Thank you.